much to do today, but we don't want to rush through our Advent moment. This is our Sunday as we walk up to the manger of Jesus Christ. And today we get to talk about one of my favorite theological concepts, which is Jesus in us, and how is that possible? But before we get to that, there's a few things that I want to bring you up to speed with regarding what's happening with our church. First and foremost, the one thing that I'm maybe more excited about than anything else is at the beginning of this year, we started praying that God would give us the ability as a newfound church to start having a mission emphasis around the world. We didn't know what that would look like or how it would happen. We knew that it would take some effort on our part. And as we watched the Lord take us through the year, he actually began to open doors that we weren't counting on. And one of those doors that he was opening was he brought a young man to us with a heart for missions. He's been with us now for several months, and he's been involved with our ministry here in different ways. And today, he is going to share with us his mission endeavor that he's going to be taking to the Ukraine. He's heading out actually this week, and so I have asked Joel if he would come up and share with us a little bit about his ministry that he'll be doing over there and some ways that we could pray for him. So this is Joel. Some of you know him, some of you don't know him. But Joel has, here, you can stand a little closer. Joel has been helping us with different parts of our ministry already, serving in the children's area and helping with the kids. You have an amazing knack for that. And also a heart for the gospel. He's done interviews on the radio. He has a heart for ministry, and we are very excited to be able to partner with him in this most recent mission endeavor that he's going to be taking. So Joel has agreed to share with us a little bit about his ministry today. And so Joel, you just joined our church as of a couple of weeks ago.
June,
you joined our church in June? No. When did you?
You're talking about membership.
Yes.
I think that was a couple of weeks ago.
So Joel, tell us a little bit about how did the Lord open the door for you to go to Ukraine? Because that's an amazing story, and I think everybody would enjoy hearing that.
So for those of you who haven't had a chance to hear this story yet, I actually was a missionary in Poland last year, which was very unexpected. If you had told me 2-3 years ago that I was going to be doing missions work overseas, I would not have believed you. I was at an engineering company on my way up to a leadership position and very much a homebody, not the kind of person that likes to hop on a plane and go to the other side of the planet. But late last year into early this year, I had to return from that missions trip due to a lack of funding. And thought that that was a closed door from God. And I think it was more of a wait than a no, as it turned out. He brought me to Illinois and to this church, something that I also never expected. And I think it was within like maybe 2 or 3 weeks of being here, I had a conversation with Darren just talking about my missions experience. And he's like, oh, we were thinking of supporting a missionary. And I'm like, I would love to be that missionary that you would support. So had a bunch of conversations with the elders, and here we are.
So you're heading out Tuesday?
Thursday.
Starts with a T. So you're heading out Thursday.
Close
enough. And you're flying directly to Ukraine.
No. I am flying into Poland and then taking a bus from Warsaw to the city that I'm going to be in.
That's right. The bus that you're looking forward to riding.
Because I don't love the idea of being in the air in Ukraine with missiles.
Now tell us about you. You're involved with a family over there. The Lord has opened a door for you to get involved with this family. And they are like in love with getting Jesus into the area. So tell us about that.
So I had the pleasure of meeting a Ukrainian family when I was in Poland. I worked with both a Polish church and a Ukrainian church. Throughout the course of this year, in combination with coming here, I had several conversations with them. They stayed in touch maybe on a weekly basis. And we started talking about their local church back in Ukraine that they actually hadn't been to in some time. And they started talking about the ministries that they had there. And I'm like, this is something I care about. This is something I care about. This is something I care about. And I asked, you know, what would it be like if I were to go to your local church? Is that something we could pull off? We ended up making some connections with an organization called Island of Hope. That's what it translates to in English. Connected with a wonderful person that leads that. As I shared a couple of weeks ago briefly during my membership, the person that I was originally supposed to meet with was forcibly conscripted into the military. So now I'm speaking with another one of the leaders there. His name is Stepan. But continued prayers for Stas, the original man that I was supposed to meet with, and his family would be very much appreciated, because we don't know what he's going to end up in the middle of with the conflict that's happening over
there. Yeah, so just to clarify that, he's out doing his thing, and they pull him onto a truck, and now he's working in the military.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so what will you be doing when you're over there? I know it's a little up in the air with the conflict that's going on there now. But what are your plans when you get there?
So Island of Hope works with children that come from, I'm going to call it, broken homes, and children who might have a parent that's in the military. It is a passion of mine, and something that I recognize is true around the world, is that children do not have a parent, often a father, in the home and end up growing up without that kind of positive male influence. Because I don't have children of my own yet, in line with something that you talked about just a couple of weeks ago here, there was a message that Craig gave on using our shield to watch over and protect those that are weaker than us. And because I don't have a family yet, I'm choosing to go overseas and use my shield to protect these kids.
So what will you be doing exactly? What are some activities you're going to be doing?
It's mostly interacting with the kids and just providing that positive role model around them, because a lot of times they don't have that kind of influence at home.
Okay. So you're going to be gone for how many weeks?
About two, though a lot of that is going to be spent traveling from city to city. It takes a while to get from Warsaw to Yuzhny.
Yeah, we need to pray for safety for you on the road, in the air, and all of the above.
Yes, please.
Yeah, and good connections to be made with the churches over there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be awesome. What other prayer requests would you give to us over the next 2 weeks?
The biggest things are, I have not told my company yet that I am going here. This is a trip that's going to be taking place on my vacation time. So at this point, it's not really any of their business where I'm going. But my hope is next year to be able to go on some additional trips, more lengthy, like 3 or 4 weeks at a time, maybe 3 or 4 times a year. This would require working remotely, which I currently am doing from home, and I'm going to be asking my company once I get back from the initial trip if it's okay for me to do this. And I would pray for soft hearts and open minds within my company to allow me to do that. In addition to that, prayer over spiritual warfare, as I have begun experiencing again in the last week or so here. And of course, that I would be able to have a positive impact on the kids. And one that I am not particularly fond of asking for, because I don't like asking for things for me, but a companion to join me at some point in my walk, whatever that may look like and whenever that may be.
All right, that's a good prayer request. Okay, from a father to a young man, that's a good prayer request. I'm going to ask, in the book of Romans, when they send out missionaries, they had the elders lay their hands on them, pray over them, and send them out. And so we're going to do that with Joel, especially considering the places that he's going to be and the things that he's going to be experiencing over the next couple of weeks. So I'm going to ask the elders, if you would make your way up here. Joel, would you take a spot in front here? Excellent. And we're going to pray over Joel and send him out. Church, with our blessings and with the Lord's protection. Church, would you join with us as we pray? John, would you pray? Oh, yeah, sorry. You will need that.
Well, Father, what a special blessing you've given us this morning with Joel and this opportunity. Lord, as this church has been praying for this, for some time now, this opportunity to send Joel off with our blessings. And Lord, just hearing his story, hearing his heart for ministry, we are so excited for him. We are excited to see the results of this ministry. But all the while, Lord, we know that the enemy is against this mission. We know that there will be other forces, barriers, obstacles going into that turbulent part of the world. So at this time, Lord, we just ask for Joel's safety. We ask that you would keep him just deep into your word, that you would increase his faith with each and every step he takes in that mission field. Father, that you would just bless the organization that he's with, bless the families that are backing him there. Just your blessing on this poor man who has found himself conscripted into the military, and just provide for his safety and welfare. But Lord, as we seek to reach the world with your message of the gospel, we are so pleased, so excited to send our ambassador out into the field. And Lord, just make his Smith trip go smoothly, the travel, all the connections and everything else that needs to occur. Father, will you just have your hands upon Joel every minute of this time? Will you just remove any and all obstacles coming from this, Father? And most of all, will you just allow him, Lord, to all to your glory, to just represent the gospel to these individuals, to these children that he may be dealing with? Father, may your message go clear, and we know that your gospel has a power all to itself. So, Father, just use Joel during this time. Just bless his efforts, Father, and most of all, we look to see for the harvest that will just occur in heaven at some point due to the efforts and due to the just the ministry, that opportunities that lay before him. So, Father, just at this time, we just pray again for his safety, his just keep the evil one away, and Father, most of all, may he just go there and glorify you, lifting your name up in an area of darkness and an area of great need. These things, Lord, we ask in your name. Amen.
Church, as a verbal support of Joel and his ministry, would you give a resounding amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right. God bless you, Joel. Thanks, guys.
Anyone who's interested in hearing more can come and talk to me after the service. Don't feel like you're interrupting me if I'm hanging out with children or tearing down.
We'll be praying for you as you spend Christmas over there. That'll be an exciting moment. Thanks, Joel. Well, that's exciting. We have another exciting thing that we want to share with you regarding our steps forward. A lot of you got an email already. You'll be getting a follow-up letter tomorrow, I believe, that gives you some updates on what's happening with our planned move to the building location that we have been looking at for the last couple of months. We've talked with our support base and kind of laid out a foundation for how we want to move forward if we were to move to this building. As you know, I've said since the beginning, any move that we make is not going to put us in debt. So we are looking at staying in the black through this process. And so we have developed a strategy where we are going to basically ask you to jump on board with us. We don't want the elders to make this decision alone. We don't want the leadership to make this decision alone. We want to do this together as a family. And so you're going to be receiving an invitation. Actually, it's going to be a QR code. Do we have those slides this morning?
Yeah, not
that one. There it is. Yeah, thank you. What we're going to ask is, if you click on that QR code, you will find a planning card that we're sending out to you. And what we'd like for you, we've been talking about doing faithful giving, and we would love for you to let us know about your faithful giving plans over the next 3 years. We do not want to make up a budget that would include this move without knowing where your hearts are at. So this is an opportunity for you to help us understand what our plans are, what we're able to do for next year, basically. As it stands now, as we've put the plans together and the funding together for this, if we develop a budget that is very close to what we have in 2024, basically around about $200,000 a year, which is our everything, all in operating expenses here, we should be able to make this move with no issues at all. But what we need is we need to make sure that we can meet budget. And as you know, this year has been a little challenging for us to do that. We've fallen behind. And so we want to make sure that our plans for the next 3 years, especially if we're going to make a move and make a commitment to a three-year lease, we want to make sure that we make that commitment in good faith. And so we're asking you, if you click on that QR code, or you'll get this on an email as well after today, you can click on that and let us know so that we can plan as good stewards, plan ahead. If it doesn't fit into our abilities, then that's what it is. But we're hoping that we have some faithful givers who are willing to step up and say, this is what I'm able to give over the next 3 years. And that will help us develop a budget for 2025 that can include this move to the new location. Like I said, it's not a whole lot more than we're spending here at Fountain View. It's only a couple of $1,000s more. But we haven't been meeting our budget, and we want to make sure if we commit to a three-year lease, we are committing to something that we're going to be able to do together. So we're asking you to jump on there and let us know what your plans are for the next 3 years. I think it's very achievable. Like I said, it's very similar to where we're already at. We just need to commit to making the budget over the next 3 years. Nobody's going to visit you if you lose your job, or you know, if the world comes crashing down. Things like that happen. So we're not going to be monitoring this or sending Guido over to knock on your door if you're not meeting your commitment. In fact, not many of the leadership at all will get to see these cards. This will be something that's private between you and our financial elder, just so we can plan that budget for 2025. All right, so that's the intentional giving card. You'll see that online. You can click on it, and if you have any questions on that, this is not to make the earth hot underneath of you. This is just so that we can plan as good stewards moving ahead, making a 2025 budget that we can actually meet that may include a new location 24/7 for Village Church East. All right, sound good? Okay, the second thing I want to tell you about is, in order to make the move, we are going to have renovation costs. There's not a lot, which is why we love the place that we're looking at. There's just not a lot of renovation costs. We can do a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and make this happen. Well, no tears, but blood and sweat. And we can go over there and do a lot of the work ourselves. But we will need chairs, we'll need carpet, we'll need paint, we'll need stuff to just make it happen. And so we're putting a price on that of about $20,000. That should cover everything into our building fund. And so if you'd like to give above and beyond what you're normally giving, that previous QR code was for general giving. That's just meeting normal general budget. This is above and beyond. We're calling this the Presence Project. Get it? Like presence at Christmas and presence in the community. Do you like that? Yeah. Somebody came up with that. If you like it, I'll take credit. If you don't, I'll blame somebody else. But anyway, this is an opportunity for you to give above and beyond. We're not going to put a time limit on this, but we'd love to have it by the end of the year, because for the first time since we've started this process, the ball has begun to move faster. And so we have a meeting tomorrow night with the village. There's a public meeting that we'll be at, and we'll be representing the church, and we should have an answer fairly soon as to whether or not they're going to green light this plan for us to move into this new piece of property. So this is to get the place ready. Right now we have about $8,000 in there, which is awesome. So we only need about 12. And if you would like to be a part of that, that's what we're doing for our Christmas giving project, because this will be our ability to serve Carol Stream on a more regular basis than we are already, just being here on Sundays. All right, make sense? All right, elders, is there anything that you would like to clear up or clarify or fix, wherever you are? Nope, good? All right, good. Okay, so can we get into God's word now? I'm really excited about this message because I get to start out with a great illustration. How many of you have heard of Bitcoin? Bitcoin, yeah. It's a new thing, and if you don't know about it, then you're probably wise. But interestingly enough, there's a lot of different things going on from people who have made their fortune already through Bitcoin. One of them is done by this young man who got a fortune through Bitcoin and now has decided to kind of use his money in unique ways. How many of you have heard of the treasure hunt that's going on around the United States now? Have you heard about this treasure hunt? There's a book called There's Treasure Inside. And in this book, the author, John Collins Black, has a lot of cash, and he has decided, being the fantasy guy that he is, the D&D guy that he is, he's decided to start a treasure hunt around the United States. And anyone can get involved. All you need to do is buy his book, and you will find lots of clues in there. And if you put the clues all together, you could find his treasure worth just a little over $2 million. And it is available to find by anybody. It's not underwater. It's not in a place that you need any weird thing, you know, landscaping material. He literally has hid this somewhere in the United States, five treasure chests with over $2 million in them. Now, if you find one of these chests, just so you know, they have things in them that are very valuable, but like rare Pokemon cards, shipwreck bounty, that's pretty cool, sports memorabilia, gold, items that are owned or made by Picasso, George Washington, and even Amelia Earhart. So if you find one of these chests, it could be worth quite a lot of money. The hunt just got underway. This is CNN just put this out this week, so if you'd like to do it, you could, you know, quit your job and start searching for treasure. That's up to you. Searching for treasure is an interesting concept. I wonder if that's what the wise men felt like. Think about the wise men. They studied the skies for decades. They saw the star. They packed up a huge entourage. They prepared for this journey that would take them probably a year to do, or maybe even up to 2 years, some scholars believe. But these guys, all they did was they searched ancient texts, and they found in those texts something that told them to follow that star. And they followed what they thought they saw in these texts. It was a treasure hunt that these guys were going on. It may have taken them well over a year to search, but they didn't give up because they were determined. For us, this is Advent. This is our opportunity to explore the treasure of Jesus' birth. Think about this. Jesus had no money. He didn't come from a prestigious family. He was definitely not born into a regal setting in any way. But there's something so valuable about Jesus Christ, about this person's birth, that it changed the world for all humanity for every generation. Now, that's a crazy concept. There's something about this unique individual that changed everything. More than any one person on the planet, there's treasure here for anyone willing to look for it in the person of Jesus Christ. I want to explore that treasure with you this morning. And I have three things I want to say about this treasure. And the first one is this: God's treasure was purposely well hidden in Jesus Christ. God had planned his birth for thousands of years, but he kept it a secret. Let me say that again. God had planned this birth for thousands of years, and yet he kept it a secret. For those who looked for it, it could be found. There were prophecies, there were verses in the Old Testament, those hidden like in Isaiah 9 that we read this morning, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This verse was written 700 years before Jesus was born. There's almost like a hidden treasure God intentionally kept as a secret, as a mystery, that would be revealed in Jesus, but it was definitely hard to find and hard to see. For most people, it was hidden away in the pages of Scripture. Either they weren't interested or they weren't looking with a genuine heart to find him. Now, here's the reason this birth was hidden. Because if it were revealed step by step, the hordes of evil would have ripped heaven and earth open to find it and keep it from happening. If God had not hidden this mystery of how the Messiah would come, evil would have done everything possible to stop it from happening. So the Bible refers to Jesus' birth. It refers to Jesus' arrival as a mystery hidden from generations, hidden for the ages. God has promised us that Jesus is this treasure to be revealed. We have this in the New Testament after Jesus is born. Here's some ways that Paul describes it in Romans 16:25. Paul describes Jesus as, listen to this, the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed. Colossians 1:26 says, Jesus is the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to the saints. In 1 Peter 1:10, it says this, concerning this salvation, salvation through Jesus Christ, the prophets searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. Things into which, look at this, angels long to look. This mystery was so hidden that even the angels didn't see it coming. Now, as we talk about Advent, this is an interesting way to look at it. Like, this is God's hidden treasure, only there for some people that could see it, but hidden so well that even the angels missed it. Consider this. Before Mary, nobody knew how this was going down. Mary didn't know about it. The Messiah's own mother, who carried Jesus in her womb, had no idea what was happening. His name illustrates what was happening and kind of gives indication to her what was happening. But until the angel visited her, she didn't know what was going on. The time of his birth, nobody knew that either. Nobody knew. Angels didn't know. The demons didn't know. This was God's secret. God was putting together this treasure chest soon to be found by anyone who would look with their heart first. Satan knew that Adam was the beginning of an offspring. He would have an offspring, and this offspring would eventually defeat him. Satan knew this, so he was looking for how this was going to go down. This is why Satan orchestrated the murder of all those Jewish children under Herod. But Satan was always shooting in the dark because he never figured it out. It was a mystery hidden on purpose. Number two. Like any treasure found, the revelation looks obvious afterward. Isn't that true? You ever watch The Sixth Sense? It's like you watch it all the way through and you go, oh, I didn't even see that. But then you watch it the second time and it's like, I'm so stupid. It's right there. It's right in front of me. Colossians 1:25 says this, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that I was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. Hidden from the spiritual realm, the mystery that was hidden, even the night of Jesus' birth. Can you imagine these angels? They're just waiting, like, when's the Messiah coming? I don't know, when's the Messiah coming? And then all of a sudden they get the news, okay, you guys are up, the Messiah's here, and it's like, what? How did this all happen? Yeah, go sing to a bunch of shepherds right now. You're on. You're up. No time to practice. It's just like, get out there. Even the angels were taken by surprise. But some humans saw it. Some humans recognized it. These are the ones that searched with their heart first. Simeon and Anna are found in the Gospels. They knew who Jesus was. Mary accepted the message from the angel. She knew who Jesus was. Elizabeth, her cousin, Joseph. Joseph was so confused, he was ready to get rid of the woman he loved. He had no idea until an angel came to him and said, this is all part of the plan. This is the mystery now being revealed, and you can have a part in it. You can be father to the Son of God. Isn't that crazy? You could teach Jesus how to be a man. The wise men, they knew, they searched with their hearts, but this was a secret that was protected, so it had to be hidden. Those who love God, however, those who love God's plan suddenly had this mystery revealed. And when the mystery was revealed, everybody went, oh. Like when you watch a movie, you don't know what in the world is going on, and then at the end of it, you go, oh, I should have seen that all along. This is the birth of Jesus. This is where 300 prophecies of the Messiah come into play in Jesus' life. And 15 to 20 are just about his birth. 15 to 20 prophecies written from old times, hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, came to pass the night Jesus was born. Here's only a few. Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, from you shall come forth one for me who is to be the ruler in Israel. In Micah's day, Bethlehem was like a three-horse town. What do you call that? It's like you blink and you're through it. There's no stoplights in Bethlehem. It was so small. Even when Jesus was born, it was small. But in Micah's day, nobody even knew it existed. Yet Micah writes, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Bethlehem, something's coming out of you that is going to be amazing. You're going to give birth to this ruler of Israel. Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. When we read that, we go, of course that's talking about Jesus. But these people have read this verse for hundreds of years and had no idea what it meant. And after Jesus' birth, we read it and we go, yeah, the virgin is Mary, she'll conceive, she'll bear a son, and they called his name Emmanuel, God with us. Oh. Isaiah 66. Listen to this one. And they shall bring gold and frankincense, and they will bring good news. I mean, it's like it's right there. And we read it, and we see it, and it's written hundreds of years before, but so well hidden that even the angels didn't know. But those who search with their hearts first, God has revealed his mystery where the treasure could be found. And those not interested in finding Jesus, their eyes remained closed. Matthew 13:11, Jesus addresses this kind of condition on his own. He says, to you has been given to know the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For us, we celebrate Christmas and we think to ourselves, of course it's Christmas, it's Jesus' birthday. Why wouldn't you invite Jesus to his own birthday party? Right? So we say happy holidays, get all the Jesus stuff out of there. Don't have any songs with Jesus in them. If you go to school, get Jesus out of there. It's his birthday. And we don't invite the one who had the birthday because people don't see the mystery. They don't understand this is about Jesus. There's a passage in Galatians that dips into this, Galatians 4, verse 4. Listen to this. When the fullness of time had come, park that in your brain just for a second because I love that phrase. In fact, on Christmas Eve, Michael Fueling is going to preach on when the fullness of time had come. Great statement. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. When was the mystery of God revealed? It was revealed when the fullness of time had come. It was time. Nobody knew when the fullness of time had come, but God did. This was God's time to reveal the treasure for those who were seeking him. The birth of Jesus Christ was the mystery revealed. Now, I want to pick this verse apart a little bit for you because this deals with, when I was in school, they always said, okay, Craig, look for the what, when, where, why, and how. You remember that? And you can write a great essay if you look for the what, where, when, why, and how. In this verse, it's all there. Listen to this. What? God sent his son. What happened? God sent his son. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is the what? God sent forth his son. God reiterated to us, this son was given to us. And when Jesus was on the earth, God spoke from heaven just so people would know, this is my beloved son. Three times God did this in Jesus' life. So what happened? God sent his son. That's Christmas. When did it happen? Well, When the fullness of time had come, God's plan in history, it was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was watched for constantly by humanity. The wise men figured it out. But everyone was so used to waiting. They were so used to it. It almost became a fable. And they didn't look for it anymore. It just became like a Christianity that doesn't do anything in your life. Like going to church, but it doesn't matter. It's religion without the relationship. So people worship God, but they stop looking for Messiah because it just took a long time. But everyone was so used to waiting, they missed it when it happened. And it happened in a very small town of Bethlehem. Why did it happen, church? It's right there. To redeem those who were under the what? Do you know what that means? The law is the law of God. The Ten Commandments is a good springboard for that. And because people said, well, I've never murdered anybody, so I must be okay with the law of God, Jesus reiterated what the law was in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you haven't murdered anybody? Bravo, good for you. Like, that's a big obstacle to cover, right? So what did Jesus say? You haven't murdered anybody? Well, yeah, but if you've had a bad thought in your mind about somebody else, you've murdered them. So you're listening to this and you're going, well, wait a second, I've had bad thoughts about... If you call your brother an idiot, you've murdered them, Jesus says. That's crazy, right? Raka is literally the Greek word. It means idiot, dumbhead is what it means. Jesus said, if you have those thoughts in your head, you've murdered them. So now everybody listening to the Sermon on the Mount is going, well, wait a second. Like, then we've all sinned. Then we've all broken the law. And Jesus goes, aha, aha. That's the whole point. You have broken the law. And Jesus came to redeem those who were under the pressure of the law. James 2:10 says, one sinful thought is enough to condemn us. So church, how many people in this room are condemned? Every one of us. But here's the good news. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, to take them to a place of safety so that the law doesn't crush them. And what's the final purpose? Look at this. So that we might receive what? Adoption as sons. And you can insert daughters there. Those who have broken the law of God are welcomed in his family. This is the treasure. We are brought into the family of God, even though we have ticked off the lawmaker. He has given us his son who has redeemed us, taken us out from under the pressure of the law and says, you are not only free, but you're part of my family now. Goes on to say, and because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir through God. Isn't that great? And the last one is this. Throw that last verse up there, Christopher, if you wouldn't mind. 6 and 7. Yeah, there you go. God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. This is the how. How did we get out from under the law? How did Jesus come and make a difference for us in 2024? How do we get out from under the guilt of the law and into the freedom of Christ where we're adopted into the very family of God? Here's the how. God sent his spirit, the spirit of his son, into our hearts. This is why Christians say Jesus is with us today. He's not here in person, but he's here in the person of the Holy Spirit. Which brings us to number 3. Like a treasure, the real payoff is what is, and say it, church, what is inside. This, if you forget everything today, remember this. A treasure is just a box until you see what's inside. Colossians 1:25 goes on to say, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. And what is that? This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's explained to us what's in the treasure chest. The treasure chest is Jesus Christ, and what that means is that treasure is now put in us. Christ in us explains so much. It explains the birth of the church, sanctification of believers, justification. If you love theology, there's a lot of theology that can be explained when you understand that Christ is in us. But how in the world would God put his presence, the presence of his Son, inside people? Well, let's talk about that just for a second. If Jesus is in our church as a person, he's not in the church down the street. If Jesus were around today, he would be in one person at one time. Now, can you imagine how churches would treat this? They'd get on Facebook and all of this, and they'd say, Jesus is coming to our congregation today. And everybody would go, holy smokes, Jesus is coming to Village Church East? Well, we're going to go there. Forget our church. We're going to go where Jesus is. And so they pack up their stuff, and all the churches around, they're flying in from around the world because Jesus is going to walk through the doors and sit down. And who's he going to sit beside? Like, will he sit beside one of the elders, or will he sit beside you? Will he take an empty seat? Like, that'll be cool, and will I get time to talk to him? He won't talk to me. Maybe he'll talk to me, but Jesus is coming. Well, Jesus is one person. He took on flesh. He can only exist in one place at one time. The disciples didn't hang around with 12 Jesuses. There was only one guy. And when he rose from the dead, it was one guy. It is only one guy today. Come to our church, special speaker, Jesus Christ, and every other church in the world would be empty. And wonder, what would it be like for a church to have Jesus actually in the congregation? And here's the irony, church. He is in every single church. He is in our church today. He is in the church up the street. He is in the church around the world. He is in the church in Ukraine. The reason why this is so special, and the reason why Jesus went back to heaven and ascended, is so that he could send his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit takes residence in us, those who follow Jesus Christ. This is the hope of glory. It is Jesus Christ in us. So when you come to Village Church East, you will find Jesus Christ. And he may even be sitting next to you in the person of Jay Langfelder or in the person of Beth Jarvis. Or in the person of Megan Patterson. Jesus dwells in us. This is the treasure that God has given to us. John 14 says this, I will ask the Father, Jesus says, and he will give you another helper, not me, but another helper, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. They are not interested in searching out this treasure. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and this is before Jesus ascended, and he will be in you. Before Jesus was born, lived and died, and rose from the dead, things were incredibly different. Jesus could only be in one place at one time. But after Jesus rose from the dead, after he lived perfect life, he died and he rose from the dead, he promised his Spirit would be with us until the end of the age. And this is more than just missing a party and saying, oh, I can't be there, but I'll be with you in spirit, when you're actually really happy that you don't have to go to another party, right? So you say, I'll just be with you in spirit. This is not Jesus saying that. This is Jesus saying, I literally will be with you in the spirit of the Holy Spirit. John 16, 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I leave you. Have you ever had anybody said it's to your benefit? A friend, somebody you love from the deepest part of your soul comes up to you and says, it's for your advantage that I go away. And you're going, that's baloney. You don't believe that. But Jesus meant every word of it. I tell you the truth, it is for your advantage that I leave you. It'll be better for you if I go, because if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And what that means is I can be with you permanently for the rest of your life. It doesn't matter if you're in church. It doesn't matter if you're with your family. It doesn't matter if you're with your foe and your enemies. It doesn't matter if you're at work. It doesn't matter if you're at school. It doesn't matter if you're going to Ukraine. It doesn't matter where you are. It matters because Jesus will be with you wherever you go. Literally, he stopped the whole Matthew passage by saying, "And I will be with you until the end of the age." This is how that's possible. At Pentecost, this is exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit came. People were confused. They didn't know what was going on. It's in Acts 2. You can read about it if you'd like to. Acts chapter 2. But when it happened, people were confused, and Peter got up and he spoke, and he said, they could all understand each other's languages. And it was like, "I don't understand what's going on here. I'm really confused about this." And Peter got up and he said, "Listen, what you're experiencing is the treasure chest that Jesus has just opened. The Holy Spirit has now come to all of you, and he will be in you now." You don't have to go to Tabernacle. You don't have to pull the Ark of the Covenant back and be around that like David did. And he danced before the Ark because the presence was back among the people. You don't have to search God. You don't have to go to a place where God dwells. You don't even have to look for Jesus like the woman that wouldn't let him go because she wanted a miracle. You remember that? I can't let you go. I need to be in your presence. Because when Jesus left, he said, this is the greatest gift I can give you. The Holy Spirit now will be in you all, no matter where you go. Goes on to say in verse 28, "And we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me." Warning everyone, because there's going to be false teaching and teachers out there, and it's going to be confusing. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He dwells in you. Teaching everyone. This leads to maturity. How do I get through life? How do I make good decisions in my life? Listen to the Holy Spirit, because Jesus dwells in you because of the Holy Spirit. With all wisdom. Well, I don't have any wisdom. I don't understand how to be wise. If there's anything I need, it's wisdom to know how to deal with this next situation in my life. You can be okay through this because you have the treasure chest. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Listen to him. He powerfully works it within me. I love this. The day when the power of God would come to us and dwell in us caused great confusion. It was a mystery. But Peter, standing up in Acts 2, verse 14, says this. He lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words." And then he opens a mystery that was hidden in the book of Joel, that they read a million times but didn't understand. And he opens the box and he says, it was there the whole time. Listen to what it says. This is your clue. "This is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." In the Old Testament, we went to God. We had to find him somewhere. In the Gospels, we went to Jesus. We had to find him somewhere. The disciples always hung out with him. It was hard to get your foot in the door, but you had to go find him somewhere. So you gather with 5,000 other people on a hillside just to get a glimpse of him. That's where God was. But in the New Testament, today, Jesus dwells in us. That power that Paul talks about is at work within every single follower of Jesus Christ. So what? Number one, the greatest treasure church ever revealed is Christ in you. Think of what the Holy Spirit does to help Christians, deciphers between truth and lies, convicts of sin and righteousness, makes us more like Jesus, gives us a direct connection to our Heavenly Father, prays for us, convicts us, leads us. And today, what he does is he allows us to bring glory to Jesus. We couldn't sing one song from one verse and mean it in any way that God would hear it unless it comes through the person of Jesus Christ who lives in us. This is why we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Because without the Spirit of God, God cannot hear you. We come through the Spirit of God because that is Jesus in us. Romans 8:14 says this, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." You know what that means? That means that on a regular basis, you got to listen to the Holy Spirit, that treasure that is placed in you. That little voice has replaced your conscience. Conscience is good, but the Holy Spirit is better. How much time should I dedicate every day to prayer and scripture reading? How can I practice self-control? How can I overcome temptation to my sin? How can I encourage my spouse and my children when my day goes south? What's the best way to respond to people who irritate and anger me? Am I in a godly church that is led by the Holy Spirit? All of these things will be confirmed by the Spirit who lives in you, Jesus who lives in us. So, church, I would say the point of all of this message is simply this. God's destination is not a manger. It's you. He came to live in you. That is the treasure of Christmas. Number two, leave you with one more. This mystery has been revealed, so stop looking. It'd be really, really sad if all those treasure boxes, $2.5 million, are found in the United States and somebody picks up the book, starts looking for all the clues, and starts looking for the treasure after the treasure has been found. What a waste of time. The mystery has already been revealed, so stop looking. Do you know how many people are looking for God in all the wrong places? How many people are following false religions and cults and anything that makes their life worthwhile? When all the time the treasure that the one true God has given us is Jesus Christ. If you miss him, you miss the whole hunt. We wonder why no one found Jesus when he was born. Even his parents had little insight into what was happening. Just a couple of shepherds who had no idea why they were being invited. Eventually, the wise men and inevitably the entire globe would be impacted by this one person, this treasure from heaven. But humans could always find him if they searched with their heart first, not by their own strength, but with a heart that genuinely wanted to find God's gift. Listen, angels would have longed to figure this out before humans did. 1 Peter 1:10, I read it for you one more time. Concerning the salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, and it was revealed to them in the things that have been now announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Do you know how many, I have a couple of things in my life that I wish I had have done that would have really paid off if I had have done them today. One is Bitcoin. If you had a deposit, are you ready for this? $10 in 2010. How many of you had an extra 10 bucks in 2010? Did you have an extra 10 bucks? All right, you ready for this? Here's the treasure you missed. If you had a deposit of 10 bucks in 2010, on December, 8th today, 14 years of growth, you would have in the bank today $19.5 million. Oh. You do not want to stand before God and miss this treasure. Because one day you will stand before God, and God will say, where do you stand in your relationship with me? And if you get there and you go, well, I've tried really hard, God's going to go, you missed the treasure. You should have invested a long time ago because it's right there. But you have to search with your heart first. God's greatest treasure has already been found. You are invited to partake in its full value. You can jump in now and have more than $19.5 million. You can have hope of glory. Brothers and sisters, you can have guarantee of heaven. What greater treasure could we have? You could have Jesus in you today, a guide for the future, somebody who leads you, who prompts you, who convicts you, who loves you, who comforts you, somebody who walks through life's journey with you. What greater treasure do you want? Every Advent is just another invitation to dig your hands into God's treasure. And this mystery, this treasure revealed, never loses its value. You will definitely want to have partaken in this treasure before you meet him face to face. So my invitation to you this Advent number two is simply this. If you've never given your life to Jesus, today should be your day of salvation. You don't have to wait 14 years to see the value increase. Immediately when you ask Christ into your heart, you become an adopted son or daughter of the living God. No longer an enemy with his, but somebody he invites in. You get to eat at the king's table. But you must come with your heart first. You must search diligently. Give up your pride. Acknowledge he's right. You're wrong. And give your life to him. Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful for this another Advent moment where we talk about the reality of a birth that happened so long ago and yet has affected so many people in history, even in this very room. People that have given their life to you that I can't wait to see again. People that I'm so grateful have loved you and served you, have found that treasure that is you, and have given their lives to you. I'm grateful, Father, that you have saved my family. Oh, I'm so grateful. I'm grateful each one of them have made a profession of faith. And Father, I am grateful that I serve in a church where there's so many people deeply in love with you. I can't wait for that great reunion when we get to heaven and we get to see all of those that we love again. Death could not hold you and death will not hold us. But we will have a great celebration because of your birth, your life, your death, and your resurrection. And because we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day we are redeemed once and for all and stand in your presence. Until that day, Father, we just worship you. And we ask that you will bring many, many more into the fold.